Well, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Most often, the last Sunday of the year, there's some pretty common themes or topics that I usually preach on. And just out of curiosity, I won't make you answer out loud, but just I know some people, you know, they get strongly opinionated about resolutions and whether they do resolutions or don't do resolutions. And then people, I don't do resolutions, but I set goals. Okay, well, whatever term you want to use, I don't care, whatever it is. But, you know, typically with a new year coming in, a lot of people, not all people, a lot of people like to try to set goals for the year or strive to do better, be it eating or exercising or whatever the case may be. And oftentimes for believers, there's some sort of goal with maybe prayer or Bible reading or whatever the case may be. And I don't know if 2019, as it came in, if you set goals for yourself or resolutions or just in general would like to have tried to do some things. And now here we are at the end of the year and maybe it only took till January or February. I probably had a few of those that they were long gone out the window, weren't going to happen. And maybe there still are some that you've done really well throughout the year. No matter what your view is on resolutions or setting goals or whatever the things may be, this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, God Revealed. And we're going to look at Psalm 19, I just want to challenge you specifically around the scripture and reading the scripture this morning. And so Psalm 19, if you find your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I pray that you would take the preaching of your word, that you glorify yourself and use it to draw us closer to you. I pray for everyone who doesn't know Christ, that God, they would be saved. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less, that you be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And so God revealed. Psalm 19 has this picture of just how God reveals Himself. And so the main idea of the text, if you're taking notes and following along this morning, is that God has revealed Himself through creation and the Bible. So that's what Psalm 19 reveals. This shows to us that God reveals Himself in two primary ways that we see from this text. One is through creation, and then one is through the Word of God, the Bible. And a question of the text is, do you know Him? If God has revealed Himself in this way, do you know God? Do you know Him intimately, personally? And do you desire to know Him more than what you do now, than what you have this year? And so there are three truths from the text. We're going to see what creation does and what the Word does, and then there's some particulars about the Word of God and how it stirs us, how it grows us. And so we're going to walk through Psalm 19 and just study this psalm together. And so number one, the power of God is declared in this world. In this world, the power of God. So notice what Psalm 19, the psalmist writes here. Said the heavens declare the glory of God. Primarily, he's talking about heavens being plural, meaning, yes, of course, heaven that we think about, but what we can see here now, that is the sky and also the galaxies, the Milky Way and all of outer space, that is incumbent of that, inclusive of those. And so he says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Well, we have some really talented photographers in our church. And one of the things I really enjoy, whether it's Bill or Don or Daniel or Miss Carol, there's so many of you go and take pictures and do such a really good job. I really enjoy seeing that and seeing those nighttime photographs where they're taking a picture of the Milky Way or stars or whatever it is, the various parts of creation. Because without exception, when I look at those, I am blown away about how big and powerful and glorious God is. That in a moment, He spoke those things into existence. And there they are. One of the things that we were living in Memphis for 3.5 years, and up until then, I was raised and lived country as they come. And after about 2.5 years of being in Memphis and pursuing a master's degree there, I told Adrian, I said, I don't know what God has for us, but I sure hope we get to get out of the city. Because I'm tired of walking out. We walk out of my apartment. I don't know, some of you have never lived, maybe I've never lived in a big city or whatever, but you can notice even here, if you walk out of Walmart here and look up, it's really, even on a clear night, it's really hard to see stars because, well, in a bigger city, it's even worse because all the light makes it really difficult. And for this country boy, it got really difficult because I couldn't walk outside and look up and see the stars. And I said, I want to get outside the city. That way, when I walk outside, I can look and see the stars. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament in the New King James, that's the sky, that's our atmosphere, declare the glory of God. The Creation Museum has, if you've ever been there, they just built the Ark a couple years ago, and I want to go see the Ark. I haven't seen the Ark. We got to go before the Ark was built, but there inside the Creation Museum, they have this video of creation. And you go in and they lean you back in this really nice seat, but then the room has a dome. And so they project the movie, if you will, is what it is, on the screen, and it walks through how big creation is and all the different components and all the stars and galaxies. It's absolutely incredible. It's one of those things I've told people that if you ever go, you have to go watch that movie, because I've never walked out of anything. I've never seen anything where I walked out feeling so little because of how big God is. And the psalmist is writing to us in this psalm saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, the sky shows His handiwork. And look, verse 2, and day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. That's universal. Doesn't matter anywhere you go in the world, anywhere you find yourself, the stars declare the glory of God. Creation declares the glory of God. Verse 4, their line has gone out and through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world, that everybody, all of creation, And in verse 4, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, a circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Well, there's something special about seeing the rising of the sun. Something beautiful about seeing the sunset. Well, many of us have stood on Sunset Point, Mount Nebo, and looked over the river valley and have seen the mountains and see the sun setting there in the west, and how absolutely incredible it is. Because creation declares the glory of God. And I'm not sure if you've taken very much time lately just to appreciate. I realize Arkansas gets a lot of bad raps for a lot of different things, and there's certainly many beautiful places all over the world. But sometimes we think we get spoiled to where we live. We live in a really beautiful place. And God just spoke it into existence. It wasn't a big bang. It wasn't some crazy development over millions of years. Rather, God just spoke, and all of creation is there. The psalmist is reminding us this morning about the power of God that is revealed to us simply by looking outside and going, look how big God is, how wonderful He is, how powerful He is. We see this in other parts of Scripture. Romans 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know what He's saying? He's saying, since you see there is creation, there's got to be a Creator. John 1:1 through verse 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made." It didn't just happen. God created it. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." Goes on to say, "Nothing was made that was made that was without Him." Lord made it all. And so, number one, the power of God is declared in the world. I realize it's cloudy today. I don't know when the next time we'll get to. I think the next couple days is supposed to be sunny. But if you're up tomorrow morning and get to see the sunrise, or later you get to see the sunset, or maybe just to walk outside and look up and gaze at the stars and remember how powerful, how glorious, how majestic God is. Number two, the produce of God is revealed in the Word. The produce of God is revealed in His Word. Notice verse 7. The law, now listen, he's going to use many different words to describe the Word of God, the psalmist does, okay? So the first one you see is law. He's just talking about the Word of God, okay? "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So testimony, there's another word. You may just mark or underline these. Law, testimony. Verse 8, "The statutes," there it is again, "of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Here it is. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear," I believe he's using fear here to reference that as well, "of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." And here it is, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." I think what's beautiful about this is he uses all these different words to reference the Word of God, and it gives us a little bit of a nuance to the Word of God each time he uses a different word here. But the produce of God is revealed in His Word. A, the Word brings renewal. It brings renewal. Notice verse 7, part A. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Whenever we teach evangelism, we teach people how to share their faith. And I've walked through this here on Sunday nights and have shared other times. But one of the things I teach people is that it doesn't matter what plan you use, whether it's EE, CWT, Christian Sharing Christ, or the Romans Road, no matter what it is, whatever your plan is to share your faith, the most important part of sharing your faith is sharing and using the Word of God. Because even here in this verse, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If anybody's going to be renewed, if anybody's going to be set free, if anybody's going to be saved, it's going to happen through the produce of the Word of God. And so the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so this is why I think it's so important when we share our faith, we need to use the Word of God. Now, I think there are ways that you can do it and not be over the top, not be just fanatical about it. You can do it tastefully, if you will, and in a loving Christ-like way, but I think that's why it's so important. That's one reason I stand here regularly and pray, saying, God, whether it's me or anybody else, whoever stands in this pulpit to preach, I pray, God, they would always preach the Word of God. Because the law, not my words. I had somebody ask me this morning, said, well, Dr. Russell, now that you have your degree, do you feel smarter? I said, unfortunately, I don't. Didn't work that way. Suddenly, when I walked across the stage and shook hands, I didn't suddenly get smarter. I know it. You just keep praying, okay? And God may hear your prayers, all right? But it's not my words. I can't write anything. I can't come up with anything clever enough to breathe life, to convert somebody, to bring them to salvation. It's the Word of God that does that. Psalm 119, verse 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And dear friend, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you don't know Christ. My heart's prayer is that you'll hear the Word of God this morning, that it will produce faith in you, that you may repent and place your faith and trust in Christ. But dear Christian, sometimes we get on empty. We need a fresh touch. We need something from the Lord. And I want to encourage you, run to the Word of God, because it brings renewal. And so, the Word of God brings renewal. B, the Word brings wisdom. It brings wisdom. Look at verse 7 again. Law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Part B, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, there's a lot of decisions in life. A lot of things that we got to wade through, figure out. We got to make a lot of decisions, a lot of choices. And friend, I think we would really do well if we would spend more time consulting the Word of God about choices and wisdom and direction for our life. Probably prevent a lot of heartaches, a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad choices. Because the Scripture says here that the testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The Word of God will never be wrong. And being obedient to the Word of God will never lead you in a wrong path. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that things are always going to work out. But you can be sure, so long as you're obedient to the Scripture, God will always bless that. God will always honor that. Psalm 119, verse 98, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. Dear friend, I don't know if you're facing a hard decision. You're trying to figure out how to lead your business or lead your company or be a good employee, whatever it is. Be sure, if you're struggling through decisions, the first place you need to look is you need to study the Scripture. And God, help me, give me wisdom to lead. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who giveth freely and upbraideth not. But dear friend, I think a lot of times people want God to give them wisdom and just kind of do it, just kind of genie in a bottle, drop it right in their lap. But most often, I think God wants to give us wisdom through His Word. Because the Scripture makes you wise. The Scripture is sure. It's solid. It's never wrong. So the Word of God brings wisdom. See, the Word brings joy. It brings joy. Look at verse 8. The statutes, there's the Word of God, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Bringing joy in the heart. That's what the Word of God does. As you study the Scripture and God reveals more of Himself, He brings wisdom, He brings renewal, then there's a joy that happens in your life. There's a joy that's not tied to the world. It's not tied to your job. It's not tied to your marriage. It's not tied to school or whatever it is. But there's joy knowing that God is working in me and through me, and the Word of God is bringing that produce into my life. Joy is far more than happiness. See, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, not happiness. See, happiness is circumstantial. Comes and goes. Here today, gone tomorrow. But joy is something more. It's not tied to circumstances. It's not tied to who I am and my identity in terms of what the world says. But my joy is a fruit of the Spirit because of who I am in Christ, and therefore it's not circumstantial. It means I can have joy in where I don't have happiness. I have joy in the midst of circumstances. I've often talked about the hardest days of my life was when my mom was killed in that car accident. I wasn't happy about it. I was sad. But even in the midst of that sadness, I still had a joy that I could not explain. And that comes from the Word. Knowing the Word, being in the Word, memorizing the Word, spending time reading the Word of God. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I don't know of anything that brings any more joy than being there quietly reading the Scripture and knowing that God Himself, through His Word, has spoken into your heart and into your life right there in that moment, in that dark hour, in that time of need where God has ministered to you through His Word. That brings joy. So, D, the Word brings clarity. Look at verse 8. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Similar to wisdom, but this brings clarity to situations. It brings clarity about what God has for you. It brings clarity about the decisions you ought to make. That's what the Word of God does. Furthermore, it gives clarity about your life, your purpose, your mission here that God has given you. See, Christians, we ought not get caught up in the here and now and the struggles of today. Because if we are students of the Word, then we've got a big picture perspective. We've got a worldview that says it really doesn't matter what you and I think, but there's one reason that we've been left here, and that's go and to win as many people to Jesus as possible in short a time as possible and lead them to do the same. And so there's clarity to why I'm here, why I breathe. Because God has given me a why of why I exist. And that comes from the Word. Comes from the Scripture. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Bible brings clarity. It is pure, and it enlightens the eyes. It brightens everything around us so we can see it for what it is. We can see the attacks of the enemy. We can see the schemes of the evil one. We can see the hand of God at work in and around our lives at particular moments of time. And so, the produce of God is revealed in His Word. And then, number three, the passion for God is measured in the love for the Word. The passion for God is measured in the love for the Word. Look at verse 10. More to be desired, talking about the Word of God, are they than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. So there is something to reading and studying, knowing and being obedient to the Word of God. It says that you're warned. Says that there be a great reward as a result of that through the working out of your faith. And in verse 14, he ends with a prayer, if you will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And dear friend, some hard things to say to you. I really believe you can tell the spiritual temperature of an individual by how much they love the Word, how much they read it. I believe you can tell the spiritual temperature in my life by how much I do or don't read the Bible, how much I seek to practice it, how much I seek to use it in my everyday life. I'm not talking about standing here and preaching and holding it up and waving around in front of you. I'm talking about every day, boots on the ground, living out the Scripture. I really believe you can tell the spiritual temperature of an individual by that. Now, there's some other things, but the Scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And how can we say we love Him, we don't keep His commandments, because sometimes we just don't know it, because we're not spending time in the Word. And I hear my heart, this is a plea to you, not so much as meant to be a rebuke. I don't ever believe that a Christian will get to the end of their life and go, I just spent too much time studying the Bible. I just spent too much time memorizing the Scripture. Now, I understand there's an old saying, sometimes I get so heavenly minded to where they're no earthly good. And all that somebody means by that is all they ever do is sit around and study the Bible and go to one Bible study to the next and one Bible study to the next, and they're never taking their knowledge and putting it in everyday life. They're not taking their knowledge, seeking to be an influence on somebody else. I get that. But I venture to say, I haven't been around very many people where that's the case. Usually just the opposite. When we're around trying to influence people, we're trying to make an impact apart from the Scripture, apart from the Word of God, apart from the things of God. Job 23 said, I have not departed from your commandment, the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So, dear friend, my challenge to you as your pastor is this. Would you commit, challenge yourself, resolute, whatever it is you want to call it. Do you ask God to give you grace to study the Bible more in the year coming? Whatever days He gives us ahead, to be a better student of the Word, to read the Word more. Now, here's my challenge to you. I have laid at the table in the back of our sanctuary here, there's a stack of some Bible reading plans, and it's from the one-year Bible. You can go to oneyearbible.com. Also on your phone, you can search Holy Bible. It's the YouVersion app, and there are plans, more Bible reading plans than anybody could ever use in their life. Okay, there are hundreds of thousands, literally, of different Bible reading plans. And I'm sure that one is on there, but there's a hard copy at the back of the room if you would like to pick one of those up. Now listen, I understand some of you have strong feelings maybe about Bible reading plans and checklists and whatever. And I realize just having some checklist, you can become more infatuated with reading the Bible to check it off a list than you can't. And if that becomes a stumbling block, fine, don't use it. Just read. Read the Bible. So I challenge you to do that on a daily basis. Now, some of you, maybe like me, you need something to kind of keep you on track, something to stir you a little bit, something to push through the grind at times. There's a plan. It has Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, those things on a regular basis. There's all sorts of different ways to read the Bible. And my challenge to you is this, is that you would commit to read the Bible more in the coming year. Now, my hope and prayer is that this coming year I'll read the Bible through. I'm going to try to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And I know many people read it through multiple times in a year. I was recently with a pastor that he sat in a church service, and the pastor asked, "How many of you have ever read the Bible through an entire year?" And he said, "My grandmother and one other person were the only people who raised their hands." He said, "I decided right then that I was going to read the Bible through in a year." He said, "I've ended up with 4 different Bible reading goals for my entire life." He said, "First, I wanted to read it through one time an entire year." He said, "I did that." He said, "Then I decided I wanted to read the Bible through more times than I am years old." So that is, he said, if I was 40 years old, before I die, I wanted to read it through at least 40 times. He said, "I've done that." He said, "Then I set the goal that I wanted to read the Bible through at least 100 times before I die." His 4th goal, he said, "I wanted to read every Bible that I own." Now, he's a preacher. And that's probably the hardest goal he's got. We preachers like Bibles. He's in his 60s. I believe he told me he's read the Bible. He told me this privately. I won't tell you his name because he'd be embarrassed. He's read the Bible through over 80 times. I'll be honest with you. That convicted this preacher's heart. I don't know if I'll read it 100 times before I die. Hope Jesus comes back soon. But it challenged my heart. I want to read the Bible. I want to know the Scripture more than I ever have. And more importantly, I want to know Him more than I ever have. They say you can read the Bible through in a year if you read every day for 15 minutes. Did you know that 15 minutes is 1/96th of your day? 1/96th. And I was looking at that, and over the course of a year, what that would total up to, if you put it all together, if you put 365, 15, and this coming year, you got an extra day, right? You know, it's a leap year, right? Some of y'all. Is it a leap year? Okay. Y'all not helping me. Y'all didn't appreciate that. You get one extra day. But if you take those 365 15-minute segments and put them all together, do you realize that's less than 4 days? Now, that's straight through. I mean, that's 24-hour full days. I believe it's 91 hours and 15 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure watch a whole lot more TV than that. Look at my phone a whole lot more than that. So, dear friend, I don't know. You maybe have read the Bible through 6 times this past year. Hallelujah. You maybe have never read it through, but in a year. It doesn't mean that you're more like Jesus just because you read it through in a year. That's not what it's about, but it's about spending time in the Word of God every single day. I believe that if you and I did that, we'll be more like Christ, and our church will be more like Jesus. So, there's a plan in the back. I'll post some things online in the coming days, just some other options, because some of you may say, I don't know if I can commit to that. I don't know if I can do that. There's 5-minute plans where you just read through the New Testament in 2 years or whatever it is. Again, I'm not so much worried about that as I am just saying, as a church family, as an individual believer, would you commit this coming year just to say, God, give me grace. I want to spend more time reading the Scripture, okay? And we'll close in just a moment, but I'll say this. Come back tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm going to talk more about some of the reading plans, some of the things I've done, how I've done it. We're going to look at Psalm 119 and man, that love letter for the Word of God. But we'll talk more about that. So if you're curious and want to know more, we're going to spend some time just real practical how-to tonight. And I'll show you what my plan is for this coming year. Okay? All right, let's pray. God in heaven, I pray here this morning, God, that everything that we do would bring honor and glory to you. I pray, God, for those who don't yet know you, God, would you save them this morning? God, I pray that the Word of God would bring conviction. God, it would convert the lost. And even now, God, they would repent and believe on you. If that's you, dear friend, head bowed, eyes closed, you just call out to the Lord right where you're at. God, forgive me. You just talk to Him. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask Jesus to save you. Give your life to Him. All to Him. You just pray. And beg God to have mercy on you and to save you. You remain in the attitude of prayer, and if God spoke to your heart here in just a minute, I'm going to pray again for our invitation time, and others may come and kneel here at the front. And as they do, you come. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me, or I need to know more about that, or I'm not sure about my salvation. I've been struggling. I've been doubting. Whatever it may be, maybe you have been saved recently and you need to follow in baptism. You come. However God's dealing with your heart, here in just a moment, when I pray, you come. Lord, I pray now for our time together as we respond to this invitation. We respond to your word. God, we'd be obedient to you. I pray for any of those that ask Jesus to save them this morning, that they would come, they'd take that first step and be obedient to you. And God, I pray for those that need to be baptized, that they would come. God, you just work in us and through us. Help us to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name.